Well, we feel like the Lord's give us a few things to study this morning, and we just pray that God will have his way and feed our souls this morning. I'm still thinking about the scripture that we started with a couple of weeks ago in Psalms 24. You know, we wrote on the board, worship God. I believe we serve a great God, don't we? We serve a God that even the best we can understand with our minds cannot take in but a little thread of God. He's that great. I believe that. You look at just the things he's made and it's mind staggering. But we serve him, and I believe he wants us to know him. He wants us to know him intimately. And so he's made a way for that this morning. I want to look at Psalms 24 again and just read a couple verses there. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. As I understand it, gates to a city is what he's likening this to. And he says to the keepers of the gates, lift up your heads. And he says to the doors, lift the doors up. And he says, and the King of glory shall come in. You know, this is a spiritual likening here this morning. But the Lord wants us to open the gates of our hearts today. And he wants us to open the gates of our lives and let the King come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And I felt like the Lord kind of gave me that thought a couple of weeks ago about the Lord mighty in battle. And so we want to talk about another aspect of where God fights for us and where we, if you want to say, where the rubber meets the road, and God is there. But I want us to think a little bit this morning about worship. In Revelations 22, and 7 to 9, I just need the Lord to help me this morning to be able to bring this out and give the thoughts he's given. Verse 7 to 9 says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. This morning I want to talk a little bit about worshiping the Lord and worshiping God. You know, in Strong's, we look that word up, and it says, a derivative, meaning to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand, to fawn or crouch to. Anyway, it goes on to say, to do reverence to, adore, or worship. And so they translated this word worship. And in Webster's it says worship means chiefly and eminently the act of paying divine honors to the Supreme Being, or the reverence and homage paid to him in religious exercises, consisting in adoration, confession, prayer, thanksgiving, and the like. You know, and it goes on to say the worship of God is an eminent part of religion. Prayer is a chief part of religious worship. You know, this morning I want us to think a little bit about what we see in worship. It says that it is consisting in adoration, confession, and prayer. And I want to talk about some of those things. I don't think we'll have time to even scratch the surface on all this, but I want to look mostly this morning at prayer. You know, worshiping God, I think about the things in our life that are so effective in our life to bless us spiritually. And I think about prayer as one of the tools that God has given us that outfits us for service. When we worship the Lord, and I know that's more than just prayer, but when we come to Him and we adore Him and we love Him, I'll just say this to that. When we love the Lord and we're thankful to Him and we bring those thanksgivings to Him, do you know it sets us in a place to be satisfied? It sets us in a way to be happy. And the Lord wants that. He longs for you and I to have something inside that says it's right, it's okay. God is there. Things are okay. Whether the outside, whether we're suffering, whether we're eating beans and tortillas, or whether we're having fine meals, something inside that says things are right. And that's kind of what happiness is. That we see life in that way. And you know, this morning, prayer and looking to the Lord and with thanksgiving to Him, if we come and our mind is all taken up with all kinds of problems and issues and grievances and whys and all of these things, you know, the Lord may not be able to stream down through that until we lay those things down and worship Him. And thank Him for what we do have. And thank Him for the things that we do have from God. And worship Him and adore Him. Lord, I'm thankful that You have dealt with me as You have. And you know, this morning, when we pray and when we look to the Lord, you know, we receive from that during times of prayer. That is a time when we come to meet with this Almighty God that we read about. Is that just for the patriarchs that met Almighty God? Is it just for someone in the Bible? Or is that for all of God's people? I believe it's for all of God's people. He wants a meeting with us. And He wants us to be there. And He is going to be there and bless us if we will allow Him to. If we come in humility of heart and in love and adoration to Him, and with our request being made known with thanksgiving, God wants to hear that. And I believe God wants to speak to us this morning. Is it not in the place of prayer many times that we receive strength for duty? Is it not in the place of prayer many times that we receive guidance for where we need to go and what we need to do? I will tell you, many times the Lord, I'll just say this from my part, the Lord gives messages many times during prayer. And calling out to the Lord and looking to Him, and right in the middle of the prayer, the Lord starts talking. You know what? God wants to talk to us, folks. I think many times we sell Him short. We give Him a little piece of our words in the morning, but we don't worship. We give Him a little word as we head out the door, or maybe a little word on the way to work, and all of that's okay. That's good. But let's make sure that we take full advantage of what God has given to us. We are in a battle for our spiritual life. Our country, our lives, our families are in a battle for spiritual things. And God wants us to be fully outfitted. He doesn't want our country to be ravaged by the enemy, nor does He want our soul to be ravaged by the enemy, nor our family. And so I believe God wants to fight for us this morning. He wants to enable us with strength and with direction. My father-in-law, I remember the stories that I've heard so many times. When he first started, felt the call to go to Mexico, they went to Pacoima and began and stayed there for a while. And after, what was it, 3 months, I believe? 2 months? They stayed there. And the Lord hadn't spoken to them, and He said, I'm going to the mountains until God shows me what to do. Because some were saying, brother, you've been here 2 months, you know, maybe you've missed your call. But you know what? He took off and he went to worship the Lord, and he went to call on his God. And you know, the Lord told him, I want you to go, was it Rosarito? And he didn't even know where Rosarito was. I'm not sure he even knew there was such a town. But God told him that. You know, this morning, Worship God. There is great value in worshiping the Lord. It is there that we meet the King. Can He not speak to us in a level that we understand in our language, with all of our hang-ups, with all the way we were raised, with all the things that we don't understand? Can He not still penetrate and speak to us? He's waiting for the man and the woman to humble their heart before Him and give Him thanksgiving and come before Him and humble their hearts. And I believe when we do that, the great God of heaven, when we lift those gates to our heart, He wants to come in and He wants to pay us a visit. The Lord wants to do that for us this morning. Oh, I appreciate the things God does, the enabling strength He gives, the power of God to work in our life. When we don't have the power or the strength, because we know we don't, folks, if we're honest with ourselves and with others, we know we are humans and we don't have what it takes. But I will tell you, there is a God in heaven. Daniel told someone, he said, there's a God in heaven. And he said that reveals secrets. But you know, there is a God in heaven that visits people. But you look at Daniel's life and you find him worshiping the Lord. You find him worshiping when it was popular. You find him worshiping when it was going to cost him his life. And you find Daniel worshiping God. And you find God meeting him there. And in fact, the angel spoke to Daniel and he said, Daniel, you are a man greatly beloved. And we heard about that in Sunday school this morning. You know, I believe in that kind of thing. I think we can come into a real close relationship with the Lord. And He wants it to be that way. He loves everybody, but is there a special place that He wants to bring us up close to Himself? I just want to encourage us this morning that there is a place with the Lord of worshiping Him where He wants our soul to be satisfied. There is a place where I believe God wants to meet us there. But I want us to think a little bit this morning that there is a battle going on. And we don't want to underestimate that battle because we have an enemy and we have a foe. And it is easy for us to say, yes, he will try to tempt. We know that, don't we? And yes, he will try to confuse every good work. And we know that, don't we? But I will tell you what maybe we don't realize is that that same foe, if we were the foe, if we were trying to stop a good work, a country, a battle of any kind, would you not go at the most effective means? Would you not go at the lines of that replenish and that revitalize and that brings goods to the battle and brings more ammunition and all that? You would go at that. You would try to cut that off and sever that, wouldn't you? And you would work at the most effective places. The devil works, folks, to keep us from worshiping the Lord and to keep our worship from being vibrant and alive. Now, I know every day we're not going to feel like we're encased in some ecstasy. But I will tell you, the Lord wants us to worship Him. And He wants us to be there in that place. I want to look a little bit about this battle going on. Because I want, by the help of the Lord, I feel like the Lord gave me these scriptures. So if we can get a hold of what's really going on, we might be able to see it for what it is and meet it right where it needs to be met. In Job 1 and 6 to 7, Job 1 and 6 to 7, it says here, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Now you know, what was Satan doing? What was he doing going to and fro in the earth all around and walking up and down in it? You know, in 1 Peter, I believe he gives us the answer. 1 Peter 5 and 8. He says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, the devil is an adversary, and he is going about looking for fair game. He's looking for that one that he can discourage. He's looking for that one that he can somehow throw off their game. He is. This is a battle that's going on. There is a battle of spirits, and we need to recognize it. And here we see it very plainly. The Satan told the Lord where he had been from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And then Peter tells us what he was doing. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, I believe that the place of prayer, and I know we could go so many directions. You could have weeks of study on prayer. But we don't have time for that in one setting. So I'm just going to give you what I felt like the Lord gave me. You know, this morning, that place of prayer is a place this battle goes on. Do you know that you are being resisted? Because that is one of the places, that is one of our chief strengths this morning. It is there we receive many times a revelation from the Lord. Was it not in prayer on our knees that we got saved and God began to reveal himself to us? Is it not in prayer that the Lord gives us added strength and changes our minds many times? Is it not in prayer that when we have been hurt deeply, that we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he just somehow does something. And it's okay. And nothing changed. Because the great God of heaven, we rolled up the door and he came in and supped with us like he said he would do. You know, is it not there that we lay our mind down, that we don't understand what's going on? We don't understand why all of these things. You know, we don't have to understand why. But I will tell you what the great God of heaven is requiring. He's requiring you and me to humble our hearts before him and to worship him. And then he'll begin to tell us some things that we need to know. I believe God wants to do that this morning. And I just want to encourage us to realize that this same one that's going about seeking whom he may devour is trying to interrupt your worship time. Is it true? Do we believe that the devil really can do that? Is that a figment of imagination, or can he really try to do that? Can he really put thoughts in your mind? He does, doesn't he? Through temptation. He does through trying to throw roadblocks in our way. But I want to tell you something. I believe God wants us to not be ignorant of Satan's devices, but to see them for what they are and realize my strength comes from the Lord. The only way, and I plead with God many times, many days, Lord, please keep me. If you don't keep me, I don't have a chance. If you don't help me, I won't make it in. Lord, I need your help. I need your grace. I need your strength. That's what we need, folks. We need God on board, don't we? And so we know that. Now, Jesus told us something wonderful in John, the 15th chapter. I love this chapter because it speaks of what the Lord wants to do in our lives and what he does do. But it says here, John 15:6, he said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You know, my wife has it just came up from the compost pile. But there's a vine that came up in the back along the fence. And it was producing a lot of cucumbers, and it was a very productive vine. But you know, the other day the weed eater caught that thing and cut that thing off. Do you know that little cut, that little place, dries up the whole vine because it becomes disconnected? That is its point of entry. That is the strength that the plant has. It is the strength that it has. It is the beauty and the grace that it has to produce fruit. And folks, if we want to produce fruit, Jesus said here, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. You know, we have to realize this morning. Lord, I need you. I need you every day. I need you to be able to be effective in my Christian life and to be able to make heaven my home. Because it is only by the food that comes up that vine that we can produce fruit. That fruit is the things that the Spirit of the Lord does in our life this morning. I just want to encourage us today to realize, I know we pray, but do we pray? We've got some vines over there that one of them's just not producing any fruit. There's no tomatoes on it. Well, there's one maybe. And some of the others are loaded. Folks, the Lord wants us to draw from Him. He wants us to draw from Him in such a way that our lives can produce fruit. But that takes worship. It takes prayer. It takes seeking the Lord. And what happens is the same thing that happens in that vine. And that's why Jesus gave us this little parable, if you will, or this little saying here. And so we see how that the food goes up that vine. We don't see it. Nobody looking on sees it. I've never seen it yet, but I've seen the results of it. And you know, this morning, the Lord wants to fill our lives. He wants our lives to be a vine that flourishes and that has fruit upon it. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. The Lord wants us to be connected in with Him in such a way that it is a blessing to our lives this morning. That takes time. It takes being connected up to the Lord. I want to challenge us this morning. If our prayer life, if our time of worship to the Lord is a little bitty and very little, I want to challenge us, if we don't know how, if we say, well, I don't know how to worship the Lord, that's okay. When the Lord started speaking to Samuel, he didn't even know his voice. He didn't even know it was God. But the Lord wants to speak to us. So we come to Him, give Him some time, read His Word, pray before Him, ask Him to reveal it to us. Ask Him, Lord, I want to understand Your thoughts. I want to understand Your ways. I want You to reveal Yourself to me. And so we humble ourselves and we come to a place that the Lord can begin to work. We heard this morning about Daniel. That's a wonderful story. But you know, Daniel went out there and he didn't come before God like the rich man did, and telling all about telling all about his goodness. Daniel came before the Lord and he came before Him just as he was. That's what we want to come before the Lord. Lord, I stand in need today. I need more strength. I need more grace. I need more wisdom. I need more patience. I need more of You. And you know, Daniel began to confess to the Lord. You know, without confession to the Lord, there isn't anything. Because we don't have anything on our own to give Him. And so he told the Lord just who he was. That's what we want to tell the Lord too. Just who we are. And God wants to change that sometimes. He wants to make a difference. He doesn't want us to be full of sin and those kind of... God doesn't want that or enjoy that, nor will He accept that. And so we come to Him very humbly. Lord, I want to serve You. And He wants to change our life. He wants to give us grace to be able to live for Him and do His will and keep His commandments. And so this morning, as we worship Him, I believe He'll do that. Thinking about Daniel again, you know, Daniel was out there and it says he ate no pleasant bread for how long? 3 weeks maybe, or something like that. Daniel spent time before God because he was in earnest. I want the God of heaven to speak to my soul. And you know, I believe God wants to speak to us, but He's waiting He's waiting for us. He's right there wishing, and he's telling us, roll the doors up. Take some time with me and stop what you're doing and give me some of your heart. Give me all of your heart and humble yourself before me. And I believe when we do that, then the great God of heaven wants to reveal himself. Listen to these scriptures here in John 15 and 6 goes on to say, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. What does withered mean? Have you ever seen a withered branch? Come by the house, I'll show you some withered ones. Something happened and the life went out of it and it withered. And it doesn't produce anything and it lost its color. You know, this morning, the Lord doesn't want our Christian life to lose its color, its vibrance. He wants a plant that lives. And we have an enemy, folks, and that's part of the message this morning. We have an enemy set against this thing. Can we realize that there really is an enemy and he's working where it's most effective, and that's where we would get our grace and strength? He's working to pull our mind. He's working to bring into our mind many things so that we can't stop and worship the Lord and pray to him and ask him in faith. Okay, if a man abide not in me, if he doesn't live there, if he doesn't abide in me, it says he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. You know, this morning I believe the Lord wants us to bear much fruit. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Jesus said, I've told you these things because I want my joy to remain in you. Don't think the devil won't, the world, everyday life won't take it out. It'll sap our strength. But it is in that place of prayer and worship to the Lord that he renews our strength. Now, I know this is just one aspect. There's also the aspect of doing his will that is very big as well. But we're talking about this part of it this morning, worship and prayer to the Lord. It goes on to say, and that your joy might be full. That your joy might be full. And that's what God is wanting this morning. Folks, we don't have to understand everything. We just need to come before the Lord with a humble heart, looking to him. When the Lord revealed that to me, that was in the 80s. I was going through a time in my life that I did not see how I could continue. My faith was so attacked and I was going through so many things and that I didn't understand until I didn't see, and I told the Lord that. I don't see how I can go on. But I will tell you, when I got to the end of my way, I found God there. You know what? God is going to be there if we will humble our heart and confess just where we are and what we are standing in need of and tell him how much we appreciate all the things he gives us. Does he give you anything? How about the breath you're breathing right now? If he would take it away, it's his. He's letting us have it. If he would take it away for about 5 minutes, you would be no more in this life. We have a lot to be thankful for. Do we have good legs to walk on? Do we have good food to eat? Do we have enough? He promised us that he would give us the necessaries of life. If we have those things, I believe the Lord wants us to bring before him thanksgiving this morning. So Lord, help us each one. I want to look a little bit more over here in Job now, chapter 1 again, verse 8. Job 1 and 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Does he fear God for nothing? I mean, come on. Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Well, Job didn't do that, did he? But you know, we find here that there was some very real things going on in the spirit world. If I can say it like that. I know that sounds kind of strange. But you know what? There is a world that affects us today. There is the power of God that Satan recognized readily. I can't touch him. You've got a hedge about him. There isn't anything I can do. What do you mean? Why does he serve you? Of course he serves you. Because you've blessed everything he's done. You know what? We recognize first that the great God of heaven puts a hedge around his people. If we serve and fear and love the Lord, and he is in our heart and life, I believe we have a hedge around us. And there's not one thing, I believe this, that can harm us except God allows it to be so. We find this here in this chapter. But we also find that there was one wishing and wanting to harm Job. And we find that here in this spirit world. Something going on that we don't know anything about. And you know, this morning, I just want us to realize the devil is very real. And there is a real world there where he affects us in our everyday lives. Because he comes against us. Is he able to come against us? If God allows him to, he will. And he will oppose us. And we want to have prayer. And do we think that it's possible that he would throw things in the mix if he can? Cause us to get diverted onto other things that take up even more of our mind? So that it's impossible, seemingly? I can't take time to worship. I don't have time to worship the Lord. Well, maybe we have too many toys. Maybe we have too many things in our life. If we can't worship the Lord, then we better stop something. Because this is where the dynamic of God working in a life comes in. Because when he begins to work and we take up the doors and we lift up the doors, the God of heaven comes into our life and begins to work. And when he works, none else can hinder. And so when we don't realize that, we are at the mercy of our enemy. And when we don't realize that this battle is going on, and we just allow the enemy to take up our mind, and you know what? That's not the only thing he'll do. That's the first thing that comes to our mind, maybe. But you know what? He'll take up our mind with bitterness, if we'll let him. He'll cause somebody to say something to you, and you just can't seem to stop thinking about it. You know, in a place of prayer and confession to the Lord, Lord, I'm in this place. I have got to have your help because I am going to get the grace to go back and treat them right. I'm going to do them good for their evil. And I'm going to soar over this problem. And Lord, I know you can do that. You know, God wants to take us to those places. The devil is opposing us. He wants to bring bitterness into your mind. He wants to bring confusion into your mind. He wants to bring but this and this and this. Folks, this and this and this don't have anything to do with us worshiping God or not. Only if we allow it. And that is our adversary's work this morning. Oh, the Lord wants every one of us to have a real live relationship with the Lord this morning. Satan is set against it. And God is there waiting to come in. Let's open the doors of our heart. And let the King come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord. The Lord mighty in battle. The Lord mighty is the one that wants to come in. And when He begins to fight for us, I have seen it with my own eyes many, many times. When God begins to fight, things begin to fall before Him. There isn't anything that is not in His control. By Him, all things consist. There isn't even anything that could be, except there be God. And so we see all of those things and acknowledge that God wants to work. I want to tell you what Job did. Verse 5. It says, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about." This is Job's children. They were having a big time. All of them blessed exceedingly with all of these good things from their father and being blessed. And we see here, "When the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually." Job knew there was a God. And he knew God had the authority and the ability to change things. And so daily, it says continually anyway, that he offered burnt offerings for his children just in case they had sinned. And so we see this. I believe Job knew there was things there that he needed God's help on. And I know we don't always know what's in our children's hearts. We don't know what's going on all the time. But I want to tell you, we can come before the Lord and pray for them. And I believe God can hear those prayers and does. Now, the Lord allowed Satan to attack Job. And he allowed some things to happen. But in the end, James tells us, we've seen the end of the Lord. He's very pitiful. And that, how does it say that? He's a very touched God. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And so we can come to such a one in humility of heart. I believe the Lord is waiting to help us. He didn't say He'd take away all of our burdens. He did say He would carry them for us. But He told us, "You're going to be persecuted. You're going to suffer much tribulation." We see one scripture that says, "These are they which have come through great tribulation." He's let us know way ahead of time. You're going to come through things, folks. But through is the word. You're going to come through things. They're not going to stop us. They're not going to stop our relationship with the Lord. And so I just want to encourage us this morning. Let God have that place in our life. Take time enough to know Him. And if we say, "I just don't see how it can happen," take some time and ask God how it can happen. Because He can change things around. I know for myself, I decided when I was young, I was always going to do that. And folks, we have to fight for it sometimes. We know what it's like to have all the things of life, all the children and bills and family and friends and all the things that come into our life. But if we don't have this, we don't have God Himself. And that's the thing we need most. And so we have to make sure this happens. There is an enemy that will oppose us, but there is a great God that fights for us. And He is able to make us, to keep us. He is able to make things happen in such a way that we can worship Him. I believe God can do that this morning. So Lord, help us each one to not allow anything to stop us or keep us from that. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1. I want to look here about how the Apostle Paul here thought about prayer. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." Now, this is the apostle asking these people, I believe, in sincerity. You look through Paul's writings and you find it. Pray for us. Pray for me. And he says, brethren, Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Do you think it matters whether you pray or whether they prayed for him? Don't you think that Paul, just on his own, the Lord could just bless him? Yes, I think he could have. But God made us a little bit interdependent, didn't he? In fact, a whole lot interdependent. I want to encourage us this morning, pray for one another. I want to read to you what one of the commentaries said about that, pray for us. Now this was another place, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 25, where he again says, pray for us. And it says, a request which the apostle often makes. He was a man of like passions as others, liable to the same temptations, engaged in an arduous work, a very difficult work, very laboring work, often called to meet with opposition and exposed to peril and want. And he especially needed the prayers of the people of God. I can't help but think about Brother Michael being in Africa right now and how many perils he has faced there. Lord, would you bless him today? Pray for him. A minister surrounded as he is by temptations is in great danger if he has not the prayers of his people. Without those prayers, he will be likely to accomplish little in the cause of his master. His own devotions in the sanctuary will be formal and frigid, and the word which he preaches will be likely to come from a cold and heavy heart and to fall also on cold and heavy hearts. There is no way in which a people can better advance the cause of piety in their own hearts than by praying much for their minister. You know, I just want to encourage us today. Someone sent me a text again this morning. I've been praying for you. Folks, that really touches me. I needed that prayer. I need it. I need to hear from the Lord. You know, Paul, again, in Hebrews 13 and 8, he says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. Clark said of that, he said, even the success of apostles depended in a certain way on the prayers of the church. Few Christian congregations feel as they ought that it is their bounden duty to pray for the success of the gospel, both among themselves and in the world. And Clark said this was in 1820s probably, the church is weak, dark, poor, and imperfect because it prays little. Now, I'm not accusing us of that this morning, but I'm challenging us to pray. Pray for the work of the Lord. Plead with God. When you see someone in trouble, there's a battle going on behind the scenes that we cannot see. And it's not only in their mind. It has to do with their adversary. It has to do with God. And it has to do with someone's submission and willingness. Give them a hand. Pray for them. Work with one another. Encourage the faith of those that seem almost to falter. And I believe the Lord will look on that this morning. I know we're about out of time, but folks, I just want us to hear the call to prayer. Realize the effort by your enemy to stop you from that. Realize that he wants to make sure that you know that you don't even know how to spend 30 minutes in prayer. Folks, we've got to spend 30 minutes real regular. I know we can't put a time on it, but I couldn't imagine it being much less than that if we really want to sup with the Lord. Take a little time in prayer and reading, maybe some of that time in reading and things, but spend some time with God. And that's not a long time. That's a little bit of our day. But spend some time. And I know you can't put all that in a box. Sometimes it's down the road. But take time sometimes and be quiet and humble before the Lord. Confess our needs to Him. Lord, I need your grace again today. I do not know what I will face, but I want to be a faithful servant today. Would you give me enabling grace and strength today? There's a great call to prayer this morning. In Luke 18 and 1, Jesus said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he went on to tell them about There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And he told about how this widow kept coming. And then he went on to say, I'll just turn there, Luke 18. And one, and this widow kept coming to this unjust judge. And verse 5 says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Folks, sometimes we cry day and night for a while. Sometimes there's some years that seem dark in a person's history sometimes, where there seems to be an overshadowing troubles and problems that we're dealing with sometimes. But you know, is not God, does he not see his own elect? And it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, I believe the Lord says he'll avenge them speedily, though he bear long with them. Because many times he's waiting for us. The call is there. Come closer. You're in this place because I want you to come close to me. I want you to know me. I want to talk to you. And he's bearing long with us. And we think he's not answering speedily. And he said, I tell you that I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Speaking of the unjust judge, will not God do the same? I believe he's bringing this out to us. Many times he's waiting for us. Now I know sometimes the Lord allows things just because he does. He's God. Why did he allow Job's affliction? Maybe to bless people for several thousand years after that. But Job's enjoyed heaven ever since, I'm sure. But you know, this morning, the Lord help us each one to not grow weary in the battle, but to recognize where our battle is and what we need to do about it. And that we need to be willing and able to find that place with the Lord and worship him and thank him in the place we are at right now. Find a place to thank him and worship him before we come with our heavy heart to the Lord, if we have a heavy heart this morning. Thank the Lord this morning. I have found him to be there. I have found that he will lift up the faint. And he will give us renewed strength. New. That word N-E-W is in that renewed. He will give us new strength. He will give us new vigor. He will give us new spark. Oh, let it be so. One more scripture I'm going to quote, Hebrews 11 and 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. You know, Jacob knew that his time was up, but it says he worshipped. You know, through his life, now Jacob didn't start out too good, but through his life, he had met God. He had wrestled with God or with an angel, whatever, man it says. And Jacob had wrestled with the angel there. And we see when his time came, it says he leaned on his staff and he worshiped the Lord. Oh, worship God this morning. Don't allow any other things to come in that place in our life, to where we give that kind of adoration, that kind of time, that kind of worship, that kind of love, that we worship anything. Worship God and let nothing else come into that place. And I believe we will find that God will be just what God said he would be. He'll come right in. The King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord. He's the King of Glory. Amen.